I think Alexis may have mentioned in the opening that some people think that this style of Vipassana is simply mindfulness of mind. And hopefully you're seeing that's not so. It's being aware of all the six sense experiences as they come and go, according to the causes, the lawful causes. And it is also so that awareness of what's going on in the mind in any moment, in the mind that's meditating, is definitely gets more and more important to remember to include, more and more obvious. Actually, it's great that it gets more obvious. That's the point. Important simply as we see the unrecognized, the afflictive qualities in the mind really lead us into vortexes of confusion and suffering. And when the state of mind is what engenders an action, it's the intention, when we're not aware, when there's not awareness of the afflictive emotions, that becomes the motivation for action. So the internal suffering, we manage to spread it out. But in the same way, attuning with awareness to the wholesome, the non-afflictive emotions, equally important and valuable. And so both we're learning to recognize and include. And this really, I found this, as we get more and more attuned, more and more habituated, really, to awareness, noticing the quality in the mind as we go through the day, this really translates into daily life, absolutely. So the quality in the mind, unrecognized or recognized, no action happens without the mental impulse, the intention to act, to speak. And that arises due to causes and conditions, as everything does. So noticing what's happening in the mind is key to seeing what's our intention before we act, which I'll talk about that at the end. It's kind of fun going through the day when you're not taking it personally. And we can just explore. I'm just acting free, spontaneous. We think we're spontaneous. Greed and aversion are running the show, but we think we're being, you know, in charge and spontaneous. But we start watching and go, wow, isn't that interesting? You can't take it personally. We just want to see how it works. But also, I just want to re-mention five wholesome qualities. Again, Alexis mentioned in the beginning, and you can, if you want to just get a little bit more, Sayadaw Tejaniya mentions them in his book, the five spiritual faculties. So these are mental factors, mental qualities that are rising together in the meditating mind. And through our steady awareness, they're cultivated. And when these five are working together and growing, that's when it really feels like the sense of the awareness is just flowing steadily. Not an act of will, but noticing. Awareness, noticing, mindfulness, recognizing the wholesome, actually lawfully, that kind of feeds the wholesome. Not holding on to it, but recognizing, oh yeah. Awareness recognizing the unwholesome doesn't feed it, doesn't stop it. You know, that sense we have, if I'm aware correctly, this bad thing stops. And as much as we've heard that's not the case, it's still like secretly in the background, if I'm doing it right, this thing's going to stop. So that's not how awareness works. But if we're aware, say, of greed and the energies with the awareness, that greed isn't being fed. And that's different from stopping it, but it's very significant. That's how there can be awareness of just as the watching the whole little vortex go on, but there's a sense you're not in it, watching it, and it doesn't keep going as much as when we're really feeding it with identification. So it's how we can trust awareness. And we just want to mention these five to notice when they're present in the mind stream. And they often are, almost always, in differing degrees. So, sada, faith, but here, in terms of what we can recognize in our practice, it's really that confidence or trust to whatever degree. But if there's not some little tiny modicum of confidence or trust, you couldn't even just keep sitting here. You couldn't do it. Maybe it's just, okay, maybe they know what they're talking about. I'll give it a try. That might be the level, but it's something. And as we go on in practice, by now, you've all been here, I'm sure they've all had moments where, oh yeah, there's something true about this. We might lose it, but finding that internal verified confidence, trust, very important, really. So just noticing when it's present, how it feels, how it acts. And personally, I find there's times when I consciously bring it up, consciously bring into my mind, my heart, the sense of confidence, sort of like I mentioned from Ajahn Sumedho last night. Consciously call on your verified faith confidence, because the effect of faith confidence is, Nisayadaw Upandita used to describe it, it gives one the willingness to do. In other words, the willingness for virya, for wise effort, which, as Sayadaw Tejaniya talks about it, is patience and perseverance. We've talked about that a lot. But it takes the confidence to, oh yeah, let me be patient with this. Confidence in the awareness. So that's the second one. Wise effort, patience, perseverance, wholesome quality, noticing when it's present, you know, very helpful. And that, of course, the perseverance, the patience is what allows mindfulness, awareness, being fully present with what is, to arise and grow. It's what allows it to keep getting more steady. And then the fourth, so mindfulness, awareness, the third. The fourth is samadhi, which is really as more a collectedness of mind. Here we often tend to think of samadhi to translate as concentration, and then without thinking of concentration is that deliberate focusing on one object, a very narrow kind of focusing. And that is one form of collectedness of mind, or samatha, you know, tranquility meditation. And as you're all seeing in Vipassana meditation, there's a sense of the collectedness of attention, but the objects are changing. So as we've said here, the collectedness we're growing is on the steadiness of awareness, not the steadiness of objects. And there's a kind of collectedness, if you think of samadhi as balance, stability of mind, really. Stability of mind, collectedness of mind. The way it shows up in this style of practice is that as the stability grows, whenever appears, the mind is less spun out about it. It's not that we're focusing in, but because we're noticing whatever happens, but say there's a loud sound, that's what it is. We don't get all worked up about it. And what you'll notice, what brings in this quality of stability, of not getting so worked up, is right view. And I found this very interesting, that we tend to think of samadhi being generated by this really deliberate focus where we get the striving going. One can do samatha practice without striving, don't get me wrong. But we tend to associate, you know, concentration with this striving. And one of the reasons in this style, if you've been practicing in other styles, the first few days or weeks, sorry to say, you feel like, I'm getting nothing here. I'm getting no proof that anything's going on, you know. I want, you know, some lights. I want some samadhi. I want the floor to move. I want some personal vindication that I'm doing it right, right? And you're getting none. You're getting none of what you think you want, which is good in the big picture, because getting what we want just keeps us glommed onto that thing. But anyway, so the quality of stability, you can start to recognize it after a while, is with right view. Because what destabilizes the mind and attention isn't objects arising, that's life. It's the reactivity in the mind, right? So I gave the example, say you're sitting here and it's quiet and there's a loud sound outside, hearing, jarring, that's what's happening. That's not in the way of awareness practice. But loud sound, and that's with right view, that's just what's happening. Loud sound, that shouldn't be happening. There's the belief in the mind. It's supposed to be quiet. This is a meditation center, for God's sake. Why are they mowing the lawn when I am meditating? And that sound is awful. Spin out, spin out. I guess you can, maybe not that exact story, but you can recognize the tendency. And we think that sound or that person, because let's face it, we want to blame somebody for our suffering, is causing me to be upset and wrecking my practice. So you see, that's what's really amping it all up is the wrong view. The idea, this shouldn't be happening, an attachment to it, and the aversion comes in the whole nine yards, however far it goes. It's the view, the lack of right view in that moment, that actually destabilizes the mind. As soon as there's awareness seeing that, oh, that becomes the next object to be aware. It's not like we have to unwind the whole thing. Awareness is right there. Oh, yeah, right. I think this shouldn't be happening. Aversion feels like this. Awareness is back again. That's the stability of this form of samadhi. Nothing's really outside of the ability of awareness to be with it. If we have an idea how it's supposed to feel, and then when that idea, you know, it should be calm, it should be lights, it should be whatever, when that is not happening, and we're not recognizing the attachment and the wanting in that moment, then it gets destabilized, right? So that's just interesting to see. And when we feel it's all destabilized, oh, what's going on? That's also like a check-in sign, what's happening here? So that's samadhi, and that comes from right view, from the steadiness of awareness. And as I was saying last night, the steadiness of awareness with right view, the samadhi, is a condition that allows wisdom, insight, clear seeing to arise. And wisdom could just be the example I just gave of, oh, right, the destabilizing is the wanting, the aversion, it's not that. And that's a moment of wisdom, clear seeing. That feeds the right view. The mind stabilizes a bit again. It strengthens the faith. It's a cycle. So just wanted to drop those in, noticing when they're present. If you're all confused, sometimes you can just check. Is any of these here? No, no way. None of them are here. They never have been. It's hopeless. Okay. It's like this now. And then you're back. The faith gave you the confidence to do that. So just dropping in, noticing the qualities in the mind, not exclusively, but we get more and more, it just gets more easy, more natural. We get more naturally adept at noticing what's going on in the mental realm. So let's just explore with kind awareness whatever is arising. Due to causes and conditions, and we are also the sense of me arising is a cause and condition in this moment. Once I heard Anam Tupton, who's guiding a meditation, and he said, don't you meditate, let awareness meditate. I like that. That comes to my mind a lot. Just sit and let awareness do its job. all beings share in the benefits of our practice. And may we all awaken together. So noticing as we go through the day this quality of intention, not every moment, of course, but it can be really interesting and useful, and it's kind of key as we get more used to noticing what state of mind is giving rise to decisions that we think are personal. You don't have to think it through, but just the steadiness of the mindfulness just starts to reveal, you know, the process, and we think, I decided where to sit at lunch, but maybe it was just awareness. You just go and sit down, whatever's available. Maybe it's greed that I got to get the right seat. I'll just pretend, you know, I'm cool, but really, you know. And none of this personal. Watch the whole thing, because who are we fooling? Only ourselves. And so seeing what gives rise to decisions and actions, I really enjoy it. And retreat's a great time because it's little things you're deciding, hopefully, you know, where to sit. Do you go outside or not? When you stand up here and walk out, do you turn right or do you turn left? We're not having huge decisions here. You turn right, why? You know, maybe you don't know, just whatever the hell. Or maybe you say, I want to go outside, it will refresh my awareness. Or maybe let me out of here, I need some air. And there's no right or wrong, but we're just exploring and seeing. It's for our own, you know, ease and welfare. Because where mental states matter in a way is when they lead to actions and all actions. So knowing, you know, that's really where the wisdom and compassion manifest, in refraining from actions that harm ourselves or others. And the more there's awareness, the less the impulse even to act from confusion and greed, the less they arise. Or they arise and they feel so, it feels so off, you know. Awareness, wisdom notices right away. So this is, I'm just trying to encourage you to just play with it. Not every moment. Don't make yourself crazy, because we're crazy enough already. But don't make yourself crazy, because intentions are arising in every mind moment. And gazillion mind moments, right? It's so fast we can't. But for decisions, just for actions, seeing. Maybe you're really clear and you're knowing. Yeah, I really want to be first in line to get a banana. Fine. Bring awareness along. You know, it's not that you shouldn't do anything, but just bring in awareness so we learn, really. And this is where the freedom comes in. And so important, as we've said all along, just recognizing that whatever's arising is arising naturally, due to lawful conditions, so we can understand that process rather than taking it personally or blaming ourselves or thinking there's something seriously wrong with us because we saw greed arise and then the wisdom mind, no, I don't really need to act on that. And the next thing you know, you're totally acting on it. You go, how did that happen? I decided not to act on this, you know, 10 million mind moments ago. But in this mind moment, the greed came up. So we're just watching that. Don't take it personally. Learning how the mind and heart works. And this is where the awareness really allows for the wisdom that brings a freedom. So play with it. And when you forget about it, fine. Remember, fine. There's no need to take it personally or judge yourself or try to do it right. We're just trying to drop in things that are really helpful and useful to explore and interesting. It's not about being the good yogi or getting it right or anything like that. So we have a few minutes if you have any questions about your practice at this time. Yeah, back there, yeah.
The five spiritual faculties sound like the seven factors of awakening.
Yeah.
And I wonder, how do you see them as different or serving different purposes?
Well, some of them overlap and some of them are a little different. So you're right, seven factors of awakening are seven really powerful factors that come together in the mind, wholesome factors, and as we're meditating. As meditation, they get stronger. They work together, they're similar, but they're not the same. So the seven, faith is not one of the seven factors. The seven factors are mindfulness, which is the balancing one. Then there's three that are energizing, virya, or wise effort, interest, or dhammavichaya, investigation, Alexis talked about that, and piti, which is sometimes translated rapture, but more like a really an energetic interest in what's happening. Piti. So dhammavichaya and piti are not in the five spiritual faculties. They're kind of, just slightly different. And then the other three are the calming factors, which is calm and collectedness, samadhi, and equanimity, upekkha. So you can see it's a slightly different list. They all overlap, they're wholesome. So the mental factor of virya, wise effort, that's the same mental factor, it's just in a different list. And so I'd say the seven, some of them are a little more subtle to notice, but they're present now too. It's just a different list. And they work together, particularly as meditation goes on. Those seven factors you can tune into them in your mind in exactly the same way as the five spiritual faculties. I think in beginning meditation, which you're not necessarily all beginners anymore, the five faculties are usually the ones that are originally spoken of, kind of getting us going. But whichever one of that list is up for you, it's interesting. I mean, the way the lists are put together, like the seven bhojangas, the seven enlightenment factors is one of the translations. That whole list as it's put together is kind of a balancing list, right? Mindfulness balances it all, three energizing, three calming ones. And so as you get familiar with those, which I'm just not talking about, we're not talking about here because it just kind of gets more complicated information. Although I think I saw that they might be listed in his book here. You can play with it. There are also factors you can recognize. And if you get familiar with them in your own practice, as practice is going along, when you're feeling kind of not caught up, but something's off what's happening, you can kind of learn, as you're familiar with those seven factors, or the five, right, either one, you can kind of run through in your mind and see what's present here. So, for instance, for me, if I was on a long retreat and I just felt, just like too energized, I might run through those and say, there's no calm. Not that you can create it, but you notice it's absent, Or you notice that there's not any equanimity. The mind's really reactive to everything that's happening. But you're just noticing. And then there's a whole meditation things I don't want to go into right now. But so you're right, they overlap. They're wholesome mental qualities that we can begin to and continue to explore. And they don't just come up in meditation, of course. Does that? Yeah. So if you're familiar with them, tune in to see what's there. It's really useful. Yeah, in the back, yeah.
To have relaxed, gentle awareness accessible as a presence. And I think I talked to you a little bit yesterday. So I've been playing with it more.
Good.
And I said, well, just into the woods, you know, go to your hearing and go to your seeing and just nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking really intently like I was stoned. But then I heard these two great horned owls calling each other. And I thanked my Buddha nature for bringing me to this moment. Right? It was just like this spaciousness just kind of wrapped up into it. But I was talking to you about, like, I'm having my relaxed gentle awareness talk to me, say things to me. So I just was like, wow, you know, my Buddha nature just adores me.
Just
a little further, and I was like, as I've been working on this, my Buddha nature adores my transgender nature that resides in this male body that I occupy. It was like just another deeper layer of this okayness.
Yes, yes.
That I'm not aware of how deeply entrenched it is.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's really, thank you for sharing that. It is really beautiful. And both, I could say Buddha nature adores you, it adores everything. You know, we are the world, we're everything. So yeah, that's beautiful. And both, we don't realize, like you say, how entrenched the wanting and the aversion and the not okayness is, but also the depths of the acceptance of the okayness. So that it's beautiful. And the more we go, the more and more. For me, what I love about, one of the many things I love about this practice is you never get to the end of it. It's never like, well, I got it all covered now, you know? Because more and more subtlety comes, both of the suffering habits of mind, but the seeing of that, the immensity of that okayness, the total, that moment with the owls, just the total presence, what I was talking about last night in my language, like there's no sense of me or anything, just, total isness, you know. And that'll hopefully, that gives the energy, right? The faith, the confidence that, yeah, this is really, there really is a different way of being in this reality. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Time if there's one more cool question. Oh, yes.
This has a really different flavor than.
That's fine, that's fine. We're all part of the human thing, you know, that's fine.
I was noticing yesterday, I think I just kind of let awareness go for a while and ate without awareness. And just, mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of just seeing what happened.
And what did you see? An aversion to some sensation you were having?
To a sensation.
Okay.
I was experiencing. I was like, what's that aversion? What is the sensation? What's the aversion? Is it because I did something I wasn't supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. You're analyzing it, kind of.
Right, I was kind of analyzing, but then boom, it just, I was like, oh, it's self, like completely selfing.
Right.
And it just had this kind of yucky feeling. And I was just reflecting on how most of my life is spent doing that because of like driving toward something, you know, like driving goals and trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And there was this like ka-chunk, like, oh my gosh, like how can I go on like this?
How can I go on like this? What was the flavor of that? Was it like interesting or completely despairing? Or
I don't know. It was more just like, you know, awareness. And like,
great. Kind of like, oh, wow, look at this. I didn't, good.
I mean, it's not like I didn't know that, but you know how these things kind of...
No, this is exactly what I meant. We never come to the end of it.
Yeah.
Intellectually, you can say, oh, I know, I'm striving a lot, but then suddenly it just hits on another level. And that sounded like a real wisdom level. That's why you didn't despair. It's like, oh, wow, look at this. That's great. That's exactly. We start to, it's really wisdom, just the steady awareness is actually allowing more clear seeing of what's really going on here. Yeah, yeah. That was yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Okay, and you doing okay since then?
Yeah, no, fine. I just, my question is, how can I go on like this? I'm just kidding.
I know. This is samsara. When we look at samsaring, that's what we think. How can I go on like this? You know how we can go on like this? Check out. Stop paying attention. I guarantee you'll go on like this. We actually know how to go on like this. But the question is really with awareness, seeing it. This is why we so much need the balance of not identifying. Because when we start to see these patterns, you think, how can I go on like this? If one, I don't hear it from you, but if one were oh my God, I'm useless. And then every time you do it, you get into an aversion, then you really do feel like you can't go on like this because you're starting down a spiral. But when it's seen with wisdom, there's an opening that happens. Everybody's like, wow, look at that. I really don't want to go on like this, but it's not. And then that will give that's kind of a wisdom that feeds the faith. The confidence, like the willingness to open into the unpleasant, which is where that insight came from, opening into the unpleasant. That's what we basically never want to do, but that's really opening into what's happening is where wisdom and freedom and ease are available. So beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so enjoy your day or not. Be aware of what's happening. And just get interested in knowing what you're doing and why. I don't think there's any announcements, are there? No. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.